Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pinier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Luco. And this week, Kevin and I are honored to welcome back Milwaukee Milkman left-hander Greg Minier. Greg, thanks for joining us on the show here tonight.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back here. And first of all, talk a little bit about with us about what it's like to be a milkman so far this year now.
I'm looking forward to it. I feel like we are putting together a pretty good team, and we're looking to take over a championship this upcoming season. And I feel like this is the right team with the right pieces, and we're ready to go. We're looking forward to just competing and going out there playing hard and having fun.
Guys, I got to say, when Rob introduced Milwaukee Milkman pitcher Greg Minier, it didn't sound right. I've always just associated Greg Minier with Lincoln Salt Dogs, and I have to admit, this is going to take some getting used to.
Yeah, it's a little funky for me too, but I'm sure by the end of the season, it's going to roll right off the tongue. I'm sure it's going to be synonymous.
You know, I know that had to be a tough decision for you because you had such great seasons there in Lincoln. I know you love the area, but a team that's still struggling to hit, were you looking to get a little bit more offense to help? I mean, what went into the decision, if you don't mind me asking?
It basically just came down to what was just best for my family and myself. As time goes along, your life situations and the personal life changes, and whenever there's an opportunity that that comes along that you really can't really resist, then you kind of have to go with your gut and make the decision. And so I think that Milwaukee kind of had the best opportunity for me to continue to my career and continue to flourish as a pitcher and as a person.
You had a pitching coach guy there in a former pitcher, I should say, in Brett Jody. Anthony Barone has not as much been a former catcher, I believe, at one point. Any difference in playing for those two managers, do you think?
I'm sure that they come with their different styles. Brett has his own way of going about baseball games on a day in and day out, and Anthony also has his own way. And, I think that being able to have different perspectives over the course of your career is very important for growth. And I'm looking forward to playing with Anthony. And I think that in that East Division, I mean, they come in at the top of the top two or three teams in the last 2 years that I've been around. And I feel like with the pieces that he's kind of put together this year, I think that it makes sense for myself and for Milwaukee to come together and continue to strive for that championship.
With Lincoln and Milwaukee not being in the same division, I know you've only had one series in Milwaukee during each of your seasons in the league. Have you pitched at Franklin Field? And if so, what are your early impressions of the place?
I threw in 2022 at Lincoln. Milwaukee. I had a start out there. It was a rainy day, and I think it ended up getting cut short. I think I probably threw six, but I was feeling really good. I could have probably gone seven or eight. But I really like Franklin Field. I like the field at Franklin. From what I hear from hitters, they have a hard time, especially at night, to see from home plate, and that only works to my advantage. So if most of the games that we play there are going to be at night, the advantage for me is always going to be deception. And if I have a couple of obstacles that could also hinder the performance of the hitters, then the ball stays in the ballpark, and I should have a fairly good output by the end of the season.
See, Greg, this is why I like having you on the show, because when you said you had a start cut short, you only went six innings. That just goes into the wheelhouse of Rob and I and how we feel about pitchers. That six innings is considered short in your eyes.
Look, I'll tell you this. If I'm a starting pitcher, call me old school, whatever. But, if the ball is in my hands, I have to start I have to finish what I start. And, I'm going to go until, the manager takes the ball out of my hands. But, I'm going out to war, and I only get a chance to do that every 5 days or so. And, that's why I'm kind of jealous of, position players who get to play all, 100 games. So when I get the chance to go out there, I want to be as prepared as I possibly can. I want to make sure that my arm is feeling as healthy as possible, and I want to feel like my body is going to respond to, 100, 115, 120 pitches in a night. And I, selfishly don't want to have people come in and take care of the job for me. That's just a selfish thing, but I understand that I'm part of a team. But if the ball is in my hand, that's because management believes that I can get the job done for the team that night. And so if there's a chance that I can go all nine, then I'm going to go all nine. And if I'm getting cut at six, it's a short start. It's short of nine. So that's just the way I feel about it. And I will do my best to make sure that I'm finishing games when I am on the mound.
No, Greg, we were a little disappointed when we saw you were headed to the Atlantic League last year. What kind of went on in that season for you?
It was, at the time, it felt like it was the right decision for me to move on. I'm always looking for opportunities to sign with a major league club or, what have you, if it's Mexico, Japan, wherever I can to continue my career. I've heard things over the years that the Atlantic League is a very good place for guys to come in and perform and contracts are handed out. I thought that could have been me if I followed suit. So I ended up signing with the York Revolution. Rick Forney, who was the manager of the Winnipeg team in 2022, got that job, and so I followed him over to the Atlantic League, and so I thought it was going to be a good start for both of our careers to continue over there and compete. I get to be the first game of the season. I was the opening day starter, and at this point, I had thrown two complete seasons as far as winter and summer back to back without any rest, and so I'm trying to start my third season. And I, my velocity was not where I wanted it to be, and I just felt like my arm was tired. I was tired. My body felt like it was not performing the way that I expected it to. And so, I talked to Rick, and I talked to the pitching coach, and I talked to the trainers, and I saw a doctor, and we all kind of concluded that, this past summer, I needed rest more than anything. I was just trying. I thought that I was a robot. I thought that I can pitch in every game and nonstop without resting my body. And it turns out that I'm human. We took a lot of tests, and it turns out I'm only human. So rest was what was important for last year. And so I ended up coming back home and recovering. And I went back to training, went back into the gym. I saw a couple pitching coaches to kind of clean up my mechanics and start producing better velocity. And so now we're gearing up. We have about, 7 weeks away from the beginning of this American Association season. So we're getting ready to ramp up and make sure that I am at peak performance by the time we step onto a field and start competing against other teams.
I wonder what that's like for you in your mind, because, you're one of the toughest competitors that we know. And so when you have to come to a decision, hey, you got to rest this year, what went on in your mind at that point?
It completely destroyed me. I thought that, my career might have been over at a point. The fact that my body wasn't responding, and I have ideas of, how you have, players who have played for 20 years, and, you see them in interviews, they're like, yeah, I lost a step. What does that mean? I never really understood. How can you possibly lose a step? How can your velocity could go down if you're working out and you're training? And, that thought kind of crept into my head that even at 27, I lost a step, when in most cases, if you're competing and if you're a professional athlete, 27 is you're about to step into your prime. So for me, that thought kind of crept into my head, and that was debilitating to say the least. Ultimately I had to just, for the sake of, furthering my career and being able to have a chance to play into my, 30s and 40s, hopefully, that resting and taking some time off was going to be best for the long run, the grand scheme of my career. So rest was not easy to accept. I wanted to compete. I wanted to just, tear the faces off of hitters, but, baseball is going to continue, and it's going to continue for the rest of time, but if I'm, you know, if I'm here for only a limited amount of time, then I have to, you know, sometimes you got to sacrifice a little bit for the larger game down the road.
How do you feel about where your body is at right now after having this year off?
Honestly, I feel fantastic. I am itching to get out there and compete. I threw in a couple games this past December/January in Puerto Rico. I got to finish off the playoff run for the Ponce Lions, and you know, we made a good stretch. And you know, I tested it out, and you know, I wasn't quite where I wanted to be, but I was still very competitive. I still got the job done whenever my name was called. I came out of the bullpen, and you know, I just tried to light up the gun as best as I could, and you know, still blowing fastballs by guys and still breaking off speed that was, you know, very deceptive. But I knew that there was still more work to be done. I was glad to be able to get back onto a baseball field after such a long time from not playing. But now, you know, since I've been back home, I've been training even harder and just making sure that, like, my mind and my body is ready to go officially when, you know, the first game of the season comes. And, you know, I don't want to ever have to look back at the situation and say, you know, I didn't do everything that I could.
So what was it like last summer then? You're shut down for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know the rest is in order. Did you watch, like, you know, any of the leagues, like the watch York play, or did you keep tabs on anything with the American Association watching former teammates, or did you just try to isolate yourself from baseball for a while?
A little bit of both. I isolated myself from baseball because it was very painful to see all of my buddies who I've, you know, developed relationships with over the years, and to see that they're still playing. And I'm like, I'm happy to see them play, but I'm also very, I guess the word is jealous. Like, I'm jealous that they're still going, and I wasn't. And I had to step away for a little bit. So, like, occasionally I'll get online and I'll check on Instagram or on you know, one of the baseball stat pages to check on scores, check on highlights. But ultimately, my focus was just on me and what it is that I needed to do to make sure that I could be on the field the next time the phone rings.
Greg, how does that change your kind of your thought about baseball now? I mean, your attitude toward the game, if it changed it at all?
I would say that it made me realize that, like, I get to play baseball for a very finite amount of time. I'm not sure when it's going to end. I'm not sure when I'm going to throw my last pitch. Up until this point, I thought that I've thrown my last pitch at least two or three different times, and I was able to get up and keep going. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's still just a game. Yes, I'm committing my entire life to it, but ultimately, at some point when I do hang it up, I'm going to still have a whole lifetime to live. And I think that while I still can, I'm going to continue to give my life to the sport and continue to see where my career takes me. But I can't let this game and I can't let the amount of work that I'm putting into this define who I am as a person. So I have to make sure that I have interest. I have to make sure that I am a good son and brother to my family. I have to make sure that I'm an upstanding human being. I have to make sure that I'm a role model in my community. And I still have to make sure that in the off season, I'm able to continue to pay the bills that I owe, and this is just a part of it. This is just another aspect of who I am, but it's not the only thing that defines Greg Minier.
You know, I have to say, Greg, you've always been a fan of the show, always been nice to Kevin and I, but I thought, you know, if you had a little bit of the summer off last year, you could have been on the show every week with us. That would have really brightened, at least made the show sound a lot more intelligent.
I receive what it is that you're saying, but that's very kind of you. But I did think about you. Believe me, I did think about you guys. I'm just like, oh, like, this guy just had disappeared and fell off the map, and then I get a text message from Robert, and he was like, hey, we'd love to have you on the show. I was like, thank you. People are still interested. That's funny.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that, though.
Well, enough about last season. Sure. Heading into this year now, What are you kind of looking forward to 2024? What are some goals you have set for yourself?
I think the only goal that I have to set for myself is just making sure that I'm playing at the peak level of what my body is capable of. I mean, I try to keep it as simple as just like being able to control the ball over the plate, being able to throw it as hard as I can, and making sure that I'm deceptive enough to make sure that hitters aren't hitting the baseball. And as long as that I'm getting out, the numbers are going to be what they are. And they're, in my opinion, I think they're going to be at the top of the league. But the only goal is to make sure that guys are going back to the bench instead of staying on the bases.
You know, Kevin was asking you about staying in games for 7, 8, 9 innings. Talk to us a little bit about your approach as a game continues. You know, obviously you can't throw the same thing in the first, you know, in the seventh that you threw in the first. So how do you kind of make this a marathon where you're continually able to battle inning after inning?
It depends. It depends on how teams are responding that day. It depends on how I'm throwing that day. Sure, I might have gotten a guy out on a fastball and he punched into the ground in the first inning, but come inning number 8, is he privy to that? Is he looking to get to a fastball? Is he looking to get me first pitch? Especially if I'm throwing strikes that night, is he going to want to jump the first pitch? And I just kind of flip the table on that. So, like, that's just one specific example with a fastball, but it goes the exact same way with the breaking ball. If I drop him in first pitch, and then, you know, I see that he's reading that, and depending on the way he takes it, is he fooled, is he not fooled, is he patient? And then at that point, I just blow him up with a fastball. So it's just a lot of cat and mouse. The game changes each inning, and I just try to use, and it's going to be kind of sound a little woo-woo, but I try to use my sixth sense to know what it is that these guys are feeling. Are they feeling pressure to get a hit? Like, is this the, you know, fourth game in a row where they've gone 0-for-3 for the day and they're begging for a base hit, they're desperate for a base hit? And if they are, then I play to that weakness that they're portraying, essentially. I can see it in the way that they carry themselves, you know, stepping into the box. I can see it when they're walking up from the on-deck circle. I know what's going on in this guy's head before he may even step in the box. And if that's the case, then I know it's Garrett. Like, I can see the future. He's going to go right back into the dugout. You know, and if there's a superpower hitter who might be just absolutely ripping up the league, well, guess what? He's not going to rip me up. I mean, if we're already in the eighth inning and he hasn't done it by now, he's not going to, because the thing is I've already pitched to him probably at that point 2 or 3 different ways, and with 4 different pitches that I'm throwing, and I'm throwing them in all 4 quadrants plus front to back, then you're playing a guessing game. And unless you guess correctly by the 8th inning, I mean, you're on an island. You're on an island just as much as I'm on an island. But the thing is, like, if the game is in my control, I dictate what it is that you have to hit. So as long as I'm pumping strikes, as long as I'm mixing up my pitches and changing locations, I mean, I'm playing rock, paper, scissors. Well, he's playing rock, paper, scissors. I'm playing rock, paper, scissors, lizard, clock, you know, ruler, file cabinet, you know, speakers, you know, like, I mean, I have so many different ways to get you out. So good luck. So if we're that deep into a game, you've seen pretty much everything, but you don't know what's coming next, and that's my advantage.
Forgive my ignorance of who Milwaukee may have signed already, but do you know who you potentially could be pitching to with the Milkmen?
I think we have a couple guys, but I think that there's going to be the way that Anthony explained it to me is that he doesn't guarantee anything to anybody as far as roles. So I know that he signed, you know, a handful of starters. He signed a handful of relievers, but we're not going to know anything as far and even for the position guys. You know, you have a handful of catchers, a handful of infielders, a handful of outfielders. But until we get into our scrimmages, I really won't know anything about who I'm going to be throwing to by, you know, the time season starts. And frankly, beyond that, I mean, I think that we're going to be seeing, you know, a lot of interchangeable parts until we kind of iron out who's who and where everybody fits into the lineup and into the roster. But it's going to be ultimately it's going to be a whole team effort in order to win a championship. So, you know, we look for who's the best option that day, and then we're just going to go from there.
Do you feel like you need to get that one catcher where you know that you're going to develop a rapport with him and hopefully early in the season get on the same wavelength as to what you want to throw and what that the game he's calling is the game you want to throw?
Sure, the sooner the better. The sooner the better we can get that kind of chemistry going. But ultimately, I mean, the ball is in my hand, so I'm going to call the game. And, you know, the catcher, you know, may know what he's talking about, but, you know, merely it comes down to them just being suggestions. I always have the power to say no, and I'm going to go to my strongest pitch. You know, in the past, you know, Skyler Webber, Zach Taylor, you know, we both have had, or all three of us have had, you know, instances where we completely meshed where, you know, I could be, you know, throwing in a game and I could, you know, make a pitch, get the ball back from the catcher, and then start my windup immediately before he even puts a finger down. He puts down the right pitch that I'm going to throw, and then boom, the ball's back in his hand again, and we do it all over again. Like, I've experienced that with both of those guys in the past where we've been that in sync to where we know exactly what we're thinking, and we can just continue just to roll through hitters that way. So the thing is, we put the pressure on the hitters to get back into the box because I'm already coming with the next one, and that has proven to be very successful to me. It's like if I'm moving through this game, the defense is on their toes. They want to make a play. No one's getting put to sleep out there because of the pace, and we get in and out of there. Hopefully, you know, in 2.5 hours instead of three and a half, 4 hours. You know, barring, you know, extra innings.
Now, in Lincoln, I was mentioning a little bit ago about the fact of struggled offensively. You know, maybe that's true this season as well. But Milwaukee traditionally has built some pretty good offenses. Won't have Brian Torres, hopefully, if it continues with the St. Louis Cardinals organization. But I gather you're pretty confident you're going to wind up getting some runs here. So do you, as a pitcher, do you feel more focused and enjoy those games more where it's 1-0 and you know every pitch better be good because it could cost you the game? Or would you rather have a 6-0 lead and just kind of get in cruise control after that?
I think there's a right answer and there's my answer. Okay. I think that the right answer is that you want to be in close games that are dramatic. But from my point of view, I like the blowout games because I feel like that the offense is doing their job. You know, they feel like they don't have the pressure to come up with a clutch hit. And for me, the game doesn't really change that much as far as a 1-0 or 6-0 game. Because I still have to make the pitches. If I take the foot off the pedal, or if I take the foot off the gas, then I become less effective. And if I become less effective, then that lead starts to narrow. You know, and all of a sudden they're back in the game by the sixth inning, let's say. So I think that the offense is going to do their thing, and I'm pumped to get up and down and high five everybody over and over and over again. But I don't see the economic benefit, let's say, of a 1-0 game and going through that stress if you don't necessarily need to, and if we just dump everybody around and just, you know, blow everybody out, because then it also sends a message to the league, hey, these guys are dangerous on both sides of the baseball. We're going to have a rough series, you know, and don't let them get to play. Don't match up with them in playoffs because you're going to be in for a ride, you know, because they're going to thump all weekend. They're going to thump for 3 games, a 5-game series or however many series, you know, how many games are in the championship series, but you don't want to get matched up with Milwaukee. I think it's plain and simple.
That rotation in Milwaukee last year was really something special. I know you got to be excited to join that group.
Absolutely, they pitched the lights out, honestly. And so, You know, to have the majority of that group back, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and I think that you know, we're going to be able to celebrate quite a bit in our locker room at the end of the night.
Have you got a chance to talk to any of those guys from last year?
Not yet. I do have a couple buddies on that team, not necessarily from the staff, but a couple buddies who I've talked to over the years, and you know, I'm looking forward to reaching out to them. One of the guys that Anthony recently signed, I met in Puerto Rico this past winter, and so we were catch partners out there. We actually flew out the same time, and so we're catch partners out there, and you know, we're very familiar with each other at this point. We drove everywhere basically around the island as far as all the games went, and we got to really know each other. We got to know each other's you know, background and everything, and so we are really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the last time Kevin and I had talked to you was you were in Puerto Rico, or maybe you had just come back from there. You were just loving the whole atmosphere. Mm. So what was like the second season like for you there?
It was even better. I mean, we ended up going to playoffs and being able to see in Catalina, like by game 7, I want to say, there was over, you know, there was over 15,000 people there, and they were absolutely going nuts for the game. And, you know, it came down to the very last out. And, you know, it didn't go our way, but honestly, it was an experience that, like, I'm never going to forget. And just seeing how much passion, how much pride goes into these neighborhoods, into these cities, you know, it really feels like, you know, you are playing for your town. You know, you represent these people, you represent their passions, their successes and their failures, you know? And so if you fail, just don't fail. But you know, if you're
that's
successful,
simple.
You know, you are a hero to those people, and it's a very humbling feeling for sure.
Did they use pitch clocks in Puerto Rico this winter, or will this be your first full season pitching with the pitch clock in the association?
Right. They didn't use pitch clocks this year. I think that might be something in the works for them, but this will be my first full season with it. And again, between 2021 and 2022, I mean, I went from one of like the slowest paced guys to like one of the fastest paced guys. And so, you know, I was able to test it in New York for a little bit, but I was definitely clocking, you know, within probably, you know, 10 seconds between pitches. So like, it really wasn't that long. And so like that, just applying that pressure really doesn't make that much of a difference. And so now at this point, it's just a measure of how fast I'm going. So like, if there is a chance that I'm going too fast, then okay, cool. I can look back and say, oh, I still have 12 seconds to go before I need to pitch. And at the same time, I can use that to disrupt the timing of the hitters as well. So, you know, I might be just clocking in at like, you know, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds. And then I'll hit you with a pause and I'll hold it 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then throw a pitch. And at that point, you know, hitters are completely thrown off my rhythm, which is exactly what I need. So, I mean, you talk about, you know, all four quadrants front to back. And then the timing of it is another dimension of how to get a hitter to return back to the dugout. So I'm looking forward to it. I really want to see, you know, what that really, how the clock over a season really affects the way that I play. But I don't really think about it too much now, especially that we've had a whole year of Major League Baseball with it now, and I think it's going to be just fine.
Well, Kevin was asking you about, you know, the potential catchers you could have this year, but can you even focus on that really at all when you're entering into a season when you have no idea who those guys are going to be, or do you just totally focus on your own game?
I focus on my own game. I mean, I'm going to see a new catcher pretty much every season. You know, it's nice when you get to have a catcher that, you know, you're familiar with and have spent, you know, seasons with, but ultimately, like, baseball is a revolving door of guys that come in and out, and, you know, you have to be able to adapt. And so what really it boils down to me, can I put a ball in between the catcher's knees? Can I put a ball, you know, right at the hitter's hands, you know, and then can I break a pitch over the plate, and can I bounce a breaking pitch, you know, behind, you know, the back corner of the plate or wrap it around a hitter's foot. And, I know that these guys behind the plate are professionals just as much as I am. And so I know that they're going to try and take their ability to the best of their abilities and make sure that they're stopping, you know, whatever is coming at them. Plain and simple.
So even though it'll only be a couple of years, there'll be some differences in terms of guys you will face. Some have retired, some have moved on to other leagues and things like that at this point. Is there anybody you're a little disappointed that won't be in the league this year? Or are you just thinking, okay, good, that guy's moved on somewhere else?
Not really. I mean, I think that, now that I've spent a little bit of time playing, guys are, again, going to come and go, and, personal life just kind of catches up with people, and, you start having to make those decisions, and sure, you might be sad not to be playing with the same exact group of guys that you played with in 2021 or 2022 or what have you, but, you kind of have to accept that, this is part of life, is that, guys are always going to be in the change of seasons, and, not everything is going to continue to remain the same. Guys have families, guys get married, guys just kind of know when it's time to move on, and, you congratulate them, you make sure you have their number, you keep in touch, but, as long as, you keep playing, then, that's what they want for you, I'm sure that whenever it is time for me to hang it up and I have all these special relationships that I've made with people, like, I'm going to want to continue to root for those guys as well, because, we've developed a relationship and I like these people and, we share the common interest of dedicating our lives to the sport. And that's really what this comes down to, is bringing people together.
Has there been any looking forward ahead and seeing when you're going to be heading back to Nebraska to pitch at Haymarket Park?
I'm looking forward to seeing whoever's left there. I would love to see, I would love to see the guys from 2021 and 2022, but, the mayor of Lincoln, I mean, Kurt Smith, I mean, he left after 2021, and it was, crazy to see him, in street clothes running his glove company, and he's sitting in the stands, and so that roster is probably almost, it's probably getting close to being unrecognizable at this point, but that's just part of it. So, whoever's there, I would love to be able to hang out and go out to eat and get all you can eat sushi down the street, after a game if we can, but, it's just whoever I can run into, which would be nice.
So Greg, you're going to give us a little insight here tonight, because I looked this up. So, the number of left-handed pitchers to join this week in the association is like 5-1 compared to right-handers.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot more right-handers out there. So is it that you guys are smarter and want to join the show, or you feel more sorry for Kevin and I and are more willing to join the show?
I want what's best for you guys. That's really what it comes down to. So, I mean, if you guys have a preference to the lefties, like, I don't blame you. You guys are smart for that. I hope that I can just continue to join the show with you guys.
Well, we're loving having you, Greg. And you've been
Thank
on the
you.
Show before, so time for the great final thought. So, Greg, whatever you'd like to talk about, the floor is yours.
Thanks. I just want to thank you guys for having me on the show. It's been a very fantastic reunion of sorts. I hope that, we can get together pretty soon again, but, I'm looking forward to be back in the American Association. I'm just so happy to continue to be playing. That's it. That's all I have for you guys. Thank you.
Sure and
fantastic.
Please.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Greg, many your thanks for joining Kevin. Thanks for joining Kevin and I this week.
I appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. All right.
Greg, thank you. That was awesome tonight. Well, Kevin, great having Greg Minier on the show, and looking forward to having him in a Milwaukee Milkman uniform this season.
Well, he's going to be a tremendous addition to the Milkman pitching staff and, also a tremendous addition to have him back in the American Association again and having the fans of the league get a chance to watch him pitch again.
It's kind of a little sad, though, to hear a 26-year-old, 27-year-old talking about us being old school, though, or him being old school. And that doesn't seem to make any sense, though, it seems like to me.
Yeah, if he's old school, what does that mean for us? Are we like geriatric school or prehistoric school? Or?
I like prehistoric. Giraffe. <Yeah. laughs> Let's go with those ones. They're pretty good. Well, Kevin, that was like the top pitching staff, one of the top two, if you want to go with the top rotations and you want to compare that with Kane County. One of those two was the top in the league last year. Now you add Greg Minier to that. If they keep most of that group in his place, especially guys like Christian Young, who was phenomenal, that's going to be quite the rotation again this year.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a good fit for Greg. And, you know, Anthony Barone's always got a really good athletic team behind him, so I think it'll be a good mix for him.
Yeah, it should be exciting. Again, the offense is going to be a little less dynamic with Brian Torres up there playing for the Cardinals, and hopefully he makes a major leagues this year because we really like Brian. But Anthony figures out a way to score a run, so that should be pretty exciting there. Well, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around the American Association, primarily transactions, not as many this week as we saw last week, but still some exciting ones going on out there. So we'll begin with the Lincoln Salt Dogs, Greg's former team. Outfielder Matt Pita winds up getting signed by the club on the 27th. That was their only signing for the week. Sioux City starting to really get active here as Oswald, if I can say that right, Medina, Daniel Montano, and Nico O'Donnell signed by the club. And we had Steve on last week there, Kevin, and he's jumping into the fray. He's wanting to make sure he gets that team ready for this season.
Yes, we've seen where we've wondered in the past as spring training approach as to if he was going to have a team put together or not, but I think he's leaving no doubt to it this year. He's getting the band together quite early.
I remember you saying, I think it was 2019, I believe, that he had 20 pitchers coming to spring training and there were like 8 position players on a 28-man team. That was fairly interesting, but he figured out a way to make a roster, so what Steve does.
Yeah, what a hoarder.
Kansas City re-signs left-handed pitcher Dalton Motes, who's been in the rotation, worked a little bit out of the bullpen, but been one of those guys Joe Calfapietra has come to rely on. Kansas City also signs right-handed pitcher Jackson Goddard, will join the club this season. Down there in Winnipeg, speaking of bringing the old band back together, Tasker Strobel returning to Winnipeg this season, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, the Tasker guy that I believe we had on recently, going to head back for another go at it with Gold Eyes. I believe, didn't he bounce around a bit last year? I thought he was with Fargo and
he went out to the Atlantic League last year.
Okay.
To give that a shot. And I'm going to pull that up, but I think it was just out there with I followed Rick Forney out there, I believe, to York, if I'm correct about that. But yes, he did. He did come back and pitch for Fargo late in the season and was even with Kane County for a couple of games.
Okay, maybe that's what I was thinking then.
Yeah, you were right about that. Yeah, he started with York and then came back and pitched for Fargo and Kane County because he had a tough spell out there in the Atlantic League last season, but never really seemed to get back to that form we saw in 2022 when he was with Winnipeg and was second in the league at 21 saves, but a guy with a very live arm for sure.
And, you know, and another opportunity to reestablish himself as one of the premier closers in the league.
Absolutely. If there's one guy who's proven he knows how to handle a group of closers, that's Logan Watkins, who did quite a job over the last couple of seasons with that group down in Cleburne. So Tasker will get, he'll be giving them every chance to go out there and prove that he's the guy with the team. Cleburne, Kevin, they signed right-handed pitcher Adam Smith, who was acquired in a trade from the Frontier League along with Tyler Driver, and they also signed infielder Jansen Witt, I believe is the way that is said. Kane County, excuse me, Lake Country. I don't know why I said Kane County. Lake Country signs right-handed pitcher Brent Conine. And the last transaction in Chicago, Kenny Serwa, signed by the Chicago Dogs. And that is your transactions in a nutshell for this week.
Around Louie the Dock Hound also participated in a intermission feature at the Milwaukee Admirals game yesterday. I believe it was human bowling. So add that to your news of the week.
Oh, we're right on. That's what I'm talking about. Out on the Frontier League, some names from the past. Sam Abbott, who I believe was the all-time home run hitter for the Gary South Shore Railcats, re-signed by Quebec for this upcoming season. I think that Chris Burgess, who was catcher, I believe, for Winnipeg Goldeyes, now with Tri-City Valley Cats. And I'm trying to think if Eric Hildebrand, why does that name sound familiar? Maybe he wasn't in this league. I thought he was in the American Association, but maybe not. He's signed as well. The big news I was watching kind of out here, because he was such a little catalyst last year, is, and you have to correct me because I think I'm saying this name wrong, but this Southern Maryland Blue Crabs signed second baseman Peyton Eales. Was that the right to say that, or was it Eales?
Eales, I believe.
Eales, yeah. So he signed. He was quite the little catalyst himself last season. So I think that was for Chicago. Yeah, he came in for the final couple of months of the season and hit .311 for the club. So big loss for the Dogs. Wind up losing Peyton this season.
Yes, I thought even that Eales was a young guy, I believe just out of college, that I thought he would get a chance to at least play Class A ball with the major league organization, but unfortunately that didn't pan out. But good to know that he will still be back in baseball this season.
Absolutely, and he'll be missed in Chicago because he was quite the little spark plug for that team, without a doubt. Well, Kevin, I'm gonna give you two options here tonight, because I know you wanted to comment on something that you read last week. So that could either be your final thought, or you could give me two things tonight if you wanted to.
Well, you know, that was going to be my shout-out at the end, so.
Okay, great. Let's do the shout-out. Let's roll with that then, Kevin.
Well, I'm going to give, I guess the shout-out will technically go to former Milwaukee Brewer reliever Seth McClung for tweeting this picture out of a statement made by a professor of a Division III college. And he sent this out to his athletes, including baseball players, that were embarking on trips to the South to get some games in. The story reads, "Some of you will be traveling to Florida with your sports teams. As a former Division III athlete, I disagree entirely with sports at this level interfering with academics. I hope your coaches have impressed upon all of you where D3 athletics will get you in life and where they will not. I hope your college education presents opportunities for you upon graduation, and I'm quite confident that you will not make a living as an athlete. Sorry. Nonetheless, I have adjusted my schedule for the midterm to accommodate those of you who will be traveling. We will still review the first half on Tuesday, but the exam is up and available for you. Have a safe trip and have fun, but keep things in perspective. Would someone want to introduce Mr. James Duggan to Chris Coast?"
He seemed to have missed the boat on that one. And I got to ask you, Kevin, he said he was a former D3 athlete. I think the important thing is to guess what that sport was, because I bet you it wasn't baseball or you know, something major. It was probably like curling, or, you know, I mean, something that he wasn't going to have in a professional career in anyway. So
yeah, maybe shot put.
Exactly.
I just what a horrible take. And you know, it doesn't matter if these guys end up being upstanding members of the community, doing whatever their degree teaches them to do. But to just pigeonhole these guys into saying, yeah, you're not going to have a chance in sports, why do it? I mean, that's just wrong on so many levels. And you look at all the teams, especially in the American Association, that have benefited from players that have played Division III baseball. And some of them have had a chance to move up, and some of them have had a chance. Maybe they didn't move up into playing AAA or even Major League Baseball, but that experience playing in the American Association, maybe with a single-A or a double-A team, that may have parlayed into a job in baseball. So I thought college was something that prepares you for life. And this guy seems like he wants to prepare them for failure.
And it's not just in baseball. I was telling Kevin when he brought the story to my attention that I covered McAllister football about 10 years ago, and their offensive line coach, I believe it was, went to McAllister, mind you, when they were horrific, I mean, a rotten college football program, and he got drafted by the Packers and played for them for like five seasons. So, D3 athletes make it at times. I believe the quarterback from Whitewater 4 or 5 years ago got signed by Buffalo or something, was in their camp for a couple of years. I think he stayed on like their practice squad. So you never know is the important thing out of that. So go out there, kids, and show that professor is stupid.
Chase your dreams and don't listen to a failed D3 athlete.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who was never going to make it anywhere. Anyway, so good luck to him wherever he's crouched down.
Else's life right now. What's that saying? Those who can do and those who can't teach?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Well, see, that's a great shout-out. So I'm going to leave it there, Kevin, because that was a sensational shout-out there for tonight. So looking forward to it. Before we close out, next week Kevin and I will have Kevin McGovern back on the show, and he had some big news this week, Kevin.
Yes, Mr. McGovern is going to be taking his left arm slants down to the Mexican League.
Absolutely. After a very successful year in the Australian Baseball League, the professional baseball league, I should say, this past year. So we'll have Kevin on the show next week. He'll tell us a little bit about what's going on, and he could talk to us about the big Champions League series, because he was down there, I believe, coaching just for that, and talk to us about some other things as well, because Kevin's always a great guest. How about it? Anybody named Kevin is always a great guest. Wouldn't you agree? I like it. Well, once again, Kevin and I want to thank Greg Minier for joining us this week. For Kevin Luco, I am Rob Fadir, and we'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.